this is my studio, this is the man cave, this is where all the magic happens. When I got this in New York, right, I think it was one of my first times going to New York, and I had been out of prison maybe a couple years, but I just knew that that's the essence of acting that I wanted to be, right? I was an LA kid. I didn't really know anything about the theater, but I grabbed that so I could look at that and just always acknowledge what I wanted to be as an actor. Oh, this one, I want to bring you right here. So these are my uncle. Like, I think really the story of the culture is that it's all connected, right? My family's been involved in gangs since the 1970s, right? As I've said, but like, this is the essence, right? Like, what does that mean? It's not just, you know, just something you understand. Like, this is what I lived and like, this is still who I am. And I'm proud of where I come from. I'm just grateful that I've been able to evolve these this essence and this spirit and these teachings and this resilience. I got my little primos right here. That's little Steven. And that's me, Polly, and Anthony, and that's right there in East LA, Montebello, and that's the night after Steven got shot. He got shot in the face. This is it. This is everything. Like, this is me honoring where I come from, and like, you know, these are my, I got my grandmas right here, right? I got these pictures. I got this. This is the shoe of when I was a baby. My dad right there in the rancho, right there on a horse, right there with his horse, you know? That's where I come from, you know, if it wasn't for that. And that's why I went back, you know. I didn't understand that in the States, but that's why I went back. I wanted to understand that, you know, and just all of our spirit helpers right there, you know. You know, the snake, just thinking about the serpent never goes back. It always goes forward, you know. It sheds the skin like that, you know. It's bringing all these things on. There's a good one, too. That's me in Ironwood State Prison, and me and my little primos and my grandpa. But yeah, and that's me. I'm like 23. Yeah, I'm probably got like one more year left in prison before I get out. This is another centerpiece right here. These are all my kids. That's the heart right there. So yeah, got all the babies right there. He's 21 now with his silver teeth. Adrian has silver teeth, you know, but that's it. You know, and you just never forget that, because that's what keeps it going right there. I think the biggest lesson I learned after getting out of prison is that you're not what the paper tells you are, right? You're not what that CDC paper and what the courts tell you are, right? Like, it's truly that, like, and if you can't switch that, then you're done, right? Like, if you really think, like, that's it. Like, doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter. Like, nah, man. Like, I got to figure this shit out, right? Like, the kicker was for me, like, not being around for that little boy right there, right? When I got out, my son was 5. That's what it is. He was 5 years old. He didn't know me. And I think it was that. I knew what not having a dad and not having parents did to me. And that's why I ended up in prison. I'm not giving it, that's just why. I'm not. But like, there was an essence, you know? And I knew that if I wanted my son to have a better chance than me, then I needed to, you know, to man up, straight up. You gotta man up, you know? So that was the big lesson. Hey, I'll give you guys a little why this is up here. Okay, so what's in here? All right, you guys could have a wild guess, but you guys are probably not gonna.
You guys will never think what's in there. Yeah, it's for real.
Real shit, right? Well, what? You weren't there. I was. No. All right.
Yeah. Hey. When do you guys take a guess? Oh, you.
Huh? Two? Oh, I was pretty close.
Yeah.
It's his bone. And it's up from his leg.
I had a motorcycle accident, and my leg pretty much ripped off.
It was me. It was me and my uncle, which was like, he's our real dad, yeah, right? Yeah, my tío George, like, he's our only dad.
He's a father figure.
He's our father figure for both of us, because our dads weren't there.
Yeah.
So we're riding Harleys, right? I first, Mayans, shout out to Mayans, right? From getting back on these Harleys, I teach my uncle how to ride a Harley. He gets all pumped up, right? And then the next one is my little cuz, right? So I buy him a Harley, a Road King, and I'm teaching you. And he's doing pretty good, right? We get him out of the parking lot.
We're practicing in, where was it?
In the
Fries.
In the Fries parking lot.
Fries. One day, cool, boom. The next day, I was like, remember when I almost flew off the curb?
In the parking lot, right? He almost flew off the little curb.
Off the ledge.
There's no cars in the fucking parking lot, right?
Yeah, but I caught it. I'm like,
whew. All right. Yeah. So the next, I was like, you know what, primo? That's it. You only could practice so much in a fucking parking lot, right? Yeah. So I was like, it's time to hit the streets. So, all right, we got him though. Me, his uncle, we're going. We drive from San Gabriel Valley all the way to East LA. We make it, right, primo?
Yeah.
Garfield, park the bikes, we eat some Mexican food, right? The next day, all right, once you got it in, you got to keep on going, right?
We went to the coffee shop.
We went to the coffee shops in downtown in Boyle Heights. And we're coming back. We're maybe less than 10 minutes away from the house. We're almost there.
We're on Beverly and Norwalk,
where Jasper almost died. One of our good friends, he almost died in a car accident on the same corner, maybe 7 years before.
Yeah.
The light hits green. It's my Uncle George, right? It's my Uncle George.
Yeah, and I'm in the middle. No, you're in the front.
I'm in the front. You're in the middle, and my Uncle George is behind me. That's how we know we got you. We know he's going to be in the middle. I take off first. And then Paulie takes off after me. And I remember the song that I was playing. It was by War. Because I had a sound system on that night. Yeah. Remember, Primo?
Yeah, I forgot then, which one it was.
I'll remember what... And I take off, and then I hear something right behind me. And as the moment I fucking look to my left, I see him flying. I see fucking Paul flying off the fucking... that's it. And like... But I'm riding, right? And I have to control my bike. I look too much. I'm going to go down, right? And fucking, that's it, right?
Yeah.
You hit the fire hydrant.
I hit a fire hydrant and I stuck my leg out. Like, it was my first time riding, so I didn't know how to fall.
He didn't know
how to fall. So I went like, I busted one of these, like, I hold on and I was like,
try to spread out.
Oh, shit. Spread my legs out. But the fire hydrant right there. So my leg hit the fire hydrant and my leg went like, boom.
And just fucking blasted it.
Yeah, and it knocked me out.
It blasted it.
But my bone popped out. It popped out instantly.
Yeah,
instantly. But then with the hitting the floor, the bone was already out. So when it hit the floor, the bone just, it broke off.
Yeah.
And that's it.
He's laid out, right? He's laid out. And fucking like that's yeah, and he's like, and we know like yeah. I see
my leg.
Because he wears big pants, obviously, right? But like I know my cousin. You know what I'm saying? I know his body like that. You know what I'm saying?
And
the end of the pants, there's it's not fucking proportion how it's supposed to be, right? And we're right there, and like fucking me and my uncle, and it's just like, and he's in pain. Like you're just like. Fuck, and like it's, and people just start coming. Like, good people came that day, right?
Yeah, they helped me. We called paramedics.
We called paramedics, but as soon as they cut the fucking leg, you just see like
all the blood.
The pants, when the paramedics got there, you cut the pants and the leg just right there, yeah, right?
It looked like a slinky.
Yeah.
It was like, no, it was. It was like a slinky. It was like, do, 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 do. And yeah, it was just like, I could.
Yeah, well, bam, I had him. We're right there.
Don't look at your leg.
Yeah, bam. I got you, primo. And they come. And then we're right there. Me and my uncle are there on them. And then they finally get him in the paramedics, right? They finally get him. And then for me, that's the part where his journey continues.
Yeah.
And then our journey continues. And when they lift him, there's just a fucking puddle of blood.
Yeah.
Right? And then me and my uncle... And then we look at it, and it's like, I know what it is, right? Yeah, there's a piece of bone, right? And my uncle's like, and I could see he's not going to get it. I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to leave your bone right there, primo.
Yeah, you took your bunny off the one he had on his face.
Yeah, I had a bandana on my face. I got that fucking bandana. I wrapped it up. Like, I got you. I'm not going to leave your bone right here, right? And so that's where it ended right there.
Yeah, and then that was that
his journey. Offering. This is his offering.
Offering.
His offering, you know, And then I remember the part when they put that shit in.
Yeah, they got me all high off that whatever. It was like morphine or something.
Would they tell you to breathe? Remember?
They're like, breathe. I'm like, because I was bleeding so much.
Yeah, he almost died. He
broke an artery. And then they got him to get there. They're like, stay with us. And it's crazy because like, I don't know what death is. And you just right there and you just feel like tired. Like that's what I think death is. Like you just feel tired.
And you just want to like, oh.
Go. Yeah, I don't want to get off.
Nah, that's it, primo. That's what happened, right? And then
I was like, I want to go to sleep. And they're like, no, stay with us. So they gave me this thing. It's like in my nose, but it's like I guess they give it to fools that do drugs or whatever, and it wakes you up like, and they crack this thing in your nose, and I'm like, oh shit, you know, it's like a rush. Like I, it gives you an extra pump to keep you going, and I get to the hospital and I feel it again, like I just want to go to sleep, and by then I'm already going out the paramedic, and I get to the hospital, and by then the blood's dripping off the bed to the trauma. Mm. And I was like, I still feel like tired. And they're like, how you feel? I'm like, I want to go to sleep. Mm. And they're like, stay with us. And by then there was like there's blood everywhere. You even hear like, oh, we have to clean the way from the door when you come in from the ambulance to where the room was at. And I look, and you could just see it on the side of the bed dripping, because my leg is, it's I'm losing blood. So they come and they give me blood. They put the, because you have a main artery right here in your part. So they stick this big old needle in me and they start giving me blood. And like by then they already give me all, I'm already all like, out of it. Yeah. And then I fucking wake up and I see him. He comes in.
Yeah. I was there.
He comes in, and then some person I was talking to at the time, she came in. Yeah. And it was just like, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, man. And we
and I was in the hospital for like a month.
Yeah,
primo. Like a month, I had like multiple surgeries.
Yeah. We thought we were going to lose his leg.
They told me, they're like, it's like a 90% chance you might not keep, you have your leg.
Yeah.
So they did this skin graft. They took off my thigh and they put it down there, like pretty much up here, down there. Yeah. And they're like, if the skin doesn't go well with this, like it's just going to rot and we have to cut it. So I'm like, fuck, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. We started praying right
praying,
there.
Praying. And then next thing you know, I'm like, they're like, they used to come every day, like twice a day with this like thing. And they used to check if there's a pulse somewhere in here. And you could hear it like, it sounds like a baby, like heartbeat in the thing. Mm. And then you just like, all right, cool. And I used to, every time they come in, I'm like, please let me hear this beat. Please let me hear it. And I hear it.
Yeah.
And then through time, they're like, all right, cool. And then I remember they took it off to clean it. I'm like, God damn. What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But
they say, you know, but the prayer saves you.
I still got a leg.
Yeah. So here it is right there. Thank you, primo. We'll just, you know, get it started, no? Yeah. And I think really, primo, like, you know, we want to just start like from the beginning, primo. And like, just, you know, your childhood, you know, our childhood and what comes to me right now, primo, is that like you being in the hospital, right? Just still trying to survive, you know. But it seems like that you've been in the hospital and you've been trying to survive since you were born, right? It's like take us through the journey of how a child. You know, I have our picture. Oh, wait up! Before anything, happy birthday, primo! Oh, yeah. Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Right. Right, we made it here. We know we never thought we would even be here, right?
Yeah.
So it's
38 years later.
Yeah. So
So
and another beautiful thing, shout out to my other little cousin.
It's crazy because our birthdays, and there's three cousins, and all our birthdays are a day apart.
And they're literally born one day apart.
Yeah. So it's my other primo is the 26th.
Carlos 26.
Mine's the 27th.
And I'm tomorrow.
He's the 28th. And we're all related. Everybody checks out. How is that?
Yeah.
How is it? But God works in mysterious ways, I guess.
Primo, just like, how was it? You know, I mean, just being born, right? Like, just.
Yeah, so.
I mean, you were born, primo, and you already had difficulties, right? That's really where
Since I was a baby, you know, I had like my primo said, like, I was always in the hospital, you know, since a young buck.
Right. And why? And.
Just because the way I see it, like, you know, now that like I'm older and I see people and family, like the drugs, you know, like my dad was like a crackhead, Sherm era, you know?
Yeah. Sherm. So what people don't know is PCP, right? PCP in the 80s, like, right?
Sherm and PCP, the way I could describe it is like PCP is bombing fluid.
And
stuff they put in dead bodies. Sherm is animal tranquilizer.
Right,
shit
right.
that knocks elephants on right. their ass.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And my your dad smoking that shit. And my uncle used to smoke that. Right,
smoking PCP. And sure, that was the era I grew up in. So the way I see it, like when my mom and dad, whatever, how they made me, I just feel like that was kind of part of my condition.
In your blood.
And my blood.
Yeah, you were like.
I don't know if my mom was getting high. Who knows?
Right. You know, no right. one you can't call it. You can't call it.
You know. But I know my dad, he was the sherm, you know, heavy into the sherm.
Right.
Crack.
Right.
So I felt like, you know, I got birth defects.
Mm.
So I started, as I was born, I, automatically I had something wrong with my dome.
Yeah.
My
head. With your head, right?
And then.
And what was it? They said, grandma said it was like a tumor. It was like a
tumor or like a bone or some something, shit. Like right? Something that wasn't good.
But more than likely, like it probably stemmed from
And now that's crazy because they said I was supposed to not live past like what? 11?
Yeah, primo. That's what 11. Grandma always says.
She's like, you're lucky to live. You're a guardian angel or whatever she used to say.
Yeah, yeah. And so my grandma, which worked at LA County General Hospital for like at least 30 years.
She was my nurse.
She was his nurse.
She was my nurse.
She was his nurse. My grandma,
she used to take like good care of me. And back then, the hospitals at,
this is the 80s.
The old General Hospital, the one that's closed down now. That shit's crazy because like I used to trip out because I'd be in there by myself and they used to have like these clowns on the walls. And it should be scary. I'd be like,
yeah, he was always scared of clowns. Like, and I didn't, I was a dick. And I was like, I used to bring clowns and like scare him. But I didn't know that.
Hey, that shit was
true. But that was the trauma behind the clowns.
And that hospital, I used to be like on the third floor. But I know upstairs, when you go higher, it was the psych ward. People that are mentally sick in the head, they live up there. So like that whole complex was, now it's, they say it's haunted. Because it shut down.
Right.
But I was born right there.
Right, right.
You know, but anyways.
And no, talk to me about the clowns, though.
Also, the clowns, like, because I used to, like, you'd be chilling and, like, each.
How old are you? How old are you? Let me, how old are you?
I was probably like 5, 6, or a little younger. Younger.
Or a little younger.
This is before I burned the house down. Oh, I guess that's another story. I was probably like 3, 4.
Yeah.
Already knowing, like,
but you're what's still going on in the world. Like Damiano's age. You're like Damiano's age.
So I used to see these clowns. My mom couldn't stay with me overnight because she had to work. My dad was into his thing, so he never really came.
Right.
You know? And I used to see these clowns on the walls, and they had these little lights. I used to spin with clowns. So it's just like, you're by yourself, and you see these clowns. It's like kind of scary. And I don't know, back then, back in the 80s, these clowns looked like evil, like it.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, you know? And then they used to come, like, out of nowhere, like, in, like, 5, 6 in the afternoon with these balloons. And I'd be like, fuck, like, I didn't want them. Yeah. And I used to always be scared. Another thing, too.
And so this thing that was supposed to bring you joy.
Joy, it fucked me up. Because they used to come with these clowns, like, cheer me up. And they used to always give me shots. And I used to hate needles. Remember? They used to have to always hold me down. Like, grown men. I'll be like a little boy, and it'll be like 3 grown men. Because I used to fight it. Because I knew once I seen the clowns.
Clown, the shot was going to come. The
shot was going to come.
Mm.
So I knew, like, right away, like, fuck this. I'm cool. So they used to come, and like right when they see the clown come, like, oh no. And then you see like nurses. I'm like, they're going to give me a shot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Where's my mom? She's not here. Where's my dad? He's not here. So like, fuck. Yeah, that went on for like forever. And even when I got out the hospital, the same thing. Like I used to see these, there was no clowns, but I know they were going to give me a shot, and I used to always fight it. So they used to have to like restrain me just to give me a shot because I needed it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And then, as time went on
and then, I mean, you came out of that, right?
I came out of that.
Right.
And it's like, you know, as I got a little older, I was probably like 5, right, 6, right, you know, right, we're living in Monte.
Right. Right.
I think it was Monte, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Armani. I was probably like 5 or 6, and I think my dad used to smoke frajos or cigarettes. But anyways, I was curious, you know? And there was these matches I seen. I still remember this story. There was these one-strike matches and wood ones. And I used to have a little doll, it's a Chucky doll. But back then it was called My Buddy. It was My Buddy doll. This dude had a little hat, little overalls.
Yeah,
it was a little doll. It was my little homie. Anyways, I had him in my room, and I took the matches. Boom, and I went to the room. I think my mom and dad were asleep. And I grabbed the matches and I threw it, and that fucking doll caught on fire. So I ran to the restroom. I was probably like 6. I still remember I run to the restroom and I locked myself in the restroom
because
I got scared.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long I was in there. And my mom banging on the door, Bali. My mom called every week since my family called me Bali. 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 And I don't know, I guess my dad fucking opens the door and she carries me and I run out, and fucking next thing you know, the fucking house was engulfing in flames.
Yeah.
And like, damn, dude, like that. And that right there, that journey, that right there was like the journey to
everything else,
my life.
Right.
So like.
You say that they blamed you. Kind of, right?
My mom, she did, but she didn't. But my dad, because that house was he grew up in, which was his father and my grandmother, his mother's house where they got raised. And so it was like a generational home. And I fucking burned it down. So my dad always had hatred toward me since I was that age.
Right.
You know, there came a time when fucking like...
And in which way? In which way?
Like the system, you know, get involved and you know, and it's like... It was fucked up in the hospitals and all this shit, you know? And the one that really kind of helped my mom get through it was my grandma, you know?
Yeah.
My grandma's the one that, like... Because my mom, my mom's a very, like, not an angry person, but she's a, like, she'll put her foot down. But the time she tried to... You can't put your foot down to, I guess, a law enforcement.
Right.
Because they're not going to hear you out. They're going to think you're just going against the grain.
Right. You know? Right.
So... That was
because the system tried to take you right after that, right? Because
of the fire.
Yeah.
So my grandma's the one that stood up for me. My dad, he was like, you know,
fuck it.
You know, at the time. Yeah. And then I got a little older, you know. Eventually, my mom, we used to stay from little spots. And at the time, it wasn't as hard as it is now. But back then, my mom used to probably stay like in motels with friends, grandma,
probably your mom, just to
get my mom back
to where her she house, needed to be. Because
we didn't have a home. Right. I burned the motherfucker down.
Right.
So, but as I grew older, like about 6, 7, 8, my dad always hated me. He used to abuse me, beat me. You know, right when my mom used to go to work, I used to be home, you know, I'm in school or get out of school. My mom used to leave to work and...
And at this time, I mean, my uncle, he's an alcoholic. He's a full-blown alcoholic, drug addict, right? Yeah. And so, like, it's that. Like, not just abuse is fucked up no matter where it's at or how it comes from, right? But then you throw on the drug addiction, right? The crack, the cocaine, the PCP with alcohol. And what type of alcohol are we drinking every day?
King Cobra.
The bottom of the barrel shit, right?
Yeah, the bottom of the barrel. The shit that will get you fucked up for a buck.
Right?
You know?
So that's the abuse that you're about to enter, right?
So my dad, he was a drunk, full-blown drunk, and he used to just, like, treat me like a piece of shit compared to... And then after my sisters and brothers got born, I realized, damn, dude, this fool loves them more than me.
Mm.
Like, why does he like this? But anyways,
right.
Go back to where I was. He used to, when my mom used to go to work, he used to be like, you're going to do the chores. I'm like 8 years old. I don't know what the fuck chores are. You're going to clean and I'll be like, ah. But he used to like smack me. Like, you're going to do it. I'll be like, damn, dude. So like every time, like when mom used to leave, I used to be like, I need to clean.
Yeah.
I need to do this. I need to do that before I get smacked.
Mm.
So.
And that was it, right, Primo? Like, and did it ever stop?
Oh, fuck no. It did. But that's in the future. There was a time when. Like, I was probably, like, 11 years old. No, 11, 12. He tried to hit me. And I snapped. Fucking grabbed a big-ass kitchen knife. And I was going to stab him. It was right there on...
Spruce?
No. Spruce. It was on Spruce. Yeah, it was on Spruce. And I pulled a knife on him. And he was like, he looked all scared. And my mom was like, what are you doing? And I remember, like, my dad was all drunk. And he left. He was just saying, like, you fucked up. And I didn't know what the fuck, you know. So he leaves, right? And I'm all scared. I don't know what the fuck to do. So, I throw the knife in the sink. And he leaves on his bike. He didn't have a car. He always had a bike.
Right.
So he jams on his bike. And, like, me all scared. Like, damn, he's going to come back. He's going to do something. So I jam. My mom was like, where are you going? I run. I don't know where I ran. I think I ran to Hollyfield Park.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah, you're staying
right. And I go kick it like in the little slide, and I was just crying, you know.
Yeah.
Like, damn, this fool's gonna.
It's gonna hurt me.
This fool's gonna fuck me up. And there's nothing my mom's gonna do. She's just gonna. She at the end of the day, she's not gonna leave this fool.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm like. Fuck it. I stay there probably for like a couple hours. Then I get back. And I still get in trouble with my mom. Where the fuck did you go?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, damn, dude, now my mom's tripping and I still gotta worry about this fool. I walk back and my dad's all drunk, kicking it outside on the park right there against the wall.
Yeah. Right before you walk up.
And he's like, come here, let me talk to you. And I'm like, fuck, so I didn't go. He's like, what the fuck's the matter with you? And then my mom comes. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. So, like, that right there, it got, like, kind of paused. And my mom was like, go upstairs and, you know, go to your room. Like, go to your fucking room. Like, I got punished for taking off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, dude, like, this is fucked up. Like, I was trying to get away from saving myself, and I'm still going to get in trouble. So that right there already fucked me up. Right, you know, like, right. I'm trying to get away from the trauma, but I'm getting in trouble for
right,
doing it.
Right, 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 right. And you know, and in that moment, I want to talk about my Theo Ernie. Because Theo Ernie was also a big part of your...
Yeah, my journey, you know?
Yeah, but also, like, because, I mean, I love the fuck out of my Theo Ernie. We always said, there, you know? But he was also crazy as fuck, though, right?
Yeah, fuck, yeah, he was...
And during that time, that's the time when you caught him in the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah, so I was probably, like, I don't know, like, the same range, like, 11, 12, and... He used to get all drunk with my dad and do the same shit, get all
blah. And this is our mom's brother. Baby brother. Yeah. This is our
her baby brother, our Theo.
Our Theo.
And he's right there in the kitchen. He's all drunk and he fucking he's always have this buck knife.
Yep.
And he fucking just starts slicing himself, cutting himself.
In your kitchen.
In front of me, and I'm fucking coming out like, what the fuck? My mom's in the room watching TV and like my dad's in the, I don't know where the fuck my dad's at. But he's in the kitchen cutting himself and there's blood on the table. And I'm like, and I run to my mom. Mom, my Theo's bleeding. My mom fucking runs. Ernie, what the fucking?
Right,
it's a big old fucking drama scene. Right. My mom grabs me and like puts me against her head, my face against her body so I won't see.
Yeah.
And like, it's already, dick, I already seen it.
Yeah.
Like, dick, this fool's fucking trying to kill himself in my kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm fucking 11 years old. So I'm like, damn, that shit, you know, that my mom was like, boom, boom. And like, next thing you know, my dad, he came from upstairs because I think he was like downstairs fucking with his bike.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So he comes up and like my dad tries to doctor him and he's like, I'm all right. And he's fucking bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
So my dad, like, he didn't want to go to the hospital. My mom was like, you didn't go to the fucking hospital. You're fucking bleeding.
Ernie didn't go to
So my dad fucking, he took off his shirt, I remember, off his back and he tied his arm. Boom. Mm. And he's still right there. And like, you know, like he just wanted to drink a beer. And this fool's still bleeding. You can see the blood coming through the shirt. And he's right there still trying to drink a beer. I'm like, damn, dude.
And fucking my Theo.
Yeah, right? That's...
Hey, no, this is one time. Remember that time?
Oh, and he cracked his head.
He cracked his head and he has a piece of meat sticking out. Yeah. And he brings flowers to your mom.
No, it was donuts. Donuts. So he used to fucking do like side jobs and he used to hook him up with pastries. And he used to always be on a bike. And it was like raining or some shit.
My uncle got a DUI on the bike. Yeah. Remember that shit?
Yeah, who does that shit? He did. He got a drunk in a fucking on a bike.
Both of your dad too. Your dad,
both of them.
Both of them. DUI on the bike.
On a bike.
They used to fucking, they never had a car. They used to be fucking.
On a bike.
Yeah, so what he fucking, he hurts himself, right?
Yeah, he
hurts
fucking, himself. And I don't know how he cracks his head open. And he comes and he's all like leaking in my mom, because we lived upstairs. But when you come to the bottom of the stairs, she's like, he's like, Lilia. And my mom's like, Ernie. And he's just like, he's just like fucking leaking. He's like, and he has, he's like, I bring the donut. The box has all kinds of blood and shit. Remember?
That
shit
fucking was Ernie.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And my mom runs down there and like, she's all trying to like put the little flat back. Hey. Yeah. And what he does, he's always have a hat backwards. So he grabbed my dad gave him a hat and he fucking and he put his hat on like to hold the TV. And he takes off and he comes back like an hour later with like a little 12 pack to drink with my dad and he has the hat on and you can see like all the dry blood still.
Like, so now you have context of both of our uncles. Now I'm gonna give you another story, all right? So we're a few years later, we're gonna go back to the child, but okay, so I'm smoking PCP, right?
Oh, remember?
I got PCP, okay? But then I found out after I smoked one, I didn't really like this shit, right? So I tell Paul, right? Hey, Primo, he's like 15, I'm 18, right? Yeah. Hey, Primo, you want this shit? And he's like, what is it? It's PCP. And he's like, fuck it, I'll take it, right?
Yeah.
So I give it to him, but I tell him, hey, Primo, whatever you do, don't fucking smoke it like a joint.
Yeah.
You got to hit it like a cigarette, because if you smoke it like a joint, it's going to get you all locked out, right? You're going to fucking lose your shit.
Yeah.
But you listen, Primo. Right?
I listen, but the person I was getting high with didn't listen. So I had this good friend. I used to live in Montebello at another spot over there by Beverly Hospital.
Yeah, we're going to get to my uncles right now. This is part of the uncles right here.
And fucking, I was like, hey, I got some Sherm. And it's what a smoke.
And it doesn't even, if you don't know what sherm is, how did it, just a little black vial. Like this. A little fucking, looks the size of your, like half a pinky.
So,
like,
go back to the sherm.
That's not gonna do nothing.
That's what my dad used to smoke.
Yeah.
That's the shit.
Yeah, this is full circle now.
So, I ended up getting the sherm, and like I told one of my friends, we used to smoke weed, and I was like, hey, wanna. Because he showed me, remember, we tried to do it with a cigarette at first. Some shit.
Yeah, we fucked
my
it
balcony,
up.
And we didn't like it. I got all weird. He got all weird.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't like this shit.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting it. I told him, hey, like, want to smoke it with some weed?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. So, like, and I remember how he did it. He just dipped it barely. So me, I'm like, oh, I seen the way he did it, so I'm going to do it. So the joint ends up getting it all fucking wet. And I'm like, how you going to like this shit? So I lit it, and it goes. Because you can't light it.
You can't light it like that. You can't put, yeah. It's so, a whole, it's a mess.
And I'm like, oh, shit. And like, so yeah, so I had to like glide it with another joint.
There it is.
To light it. Anyways, I told the homie, I was like, hey, fool, don't hit it hard.
And how old is he? Well, he's like 15
too. He's the same age as me.
15.
A little younger. If anything, you're younger. So we're in the laundromat. And like, I'm hitting it like baby. And that fool's like, take, let me. He's like, hit it. I'm like, and then it tastes like shit and it smells like shit. It's like PCP. It's like strong. It's like chemicals.
Strong. It's straight smoking straight like chemical, fucking
like rain.
Gas. Like you just dipped in the gas.
Pretty much. Like gas.
Straight gas.
Anyways, this fool's hitting it and he's like, I'm like, fuck, this fool's hitting that shit hard. Hey, he hits it.
Fuck.
And then like we got to like halfway and then like, I'm all like, I'm good. I started feeling a little. And then like, he could just see his whole transformation.
He hit it too hard.
He just like, he hit it hard. From like talking and like coughing and like, he just brain just like shutting down little by little. And he just like, he just gets all stuck.
Right.
And I was like,
now you're
like,
with them.
I was like, you cool, fool? He just didn't talk. He was just all stuck. And then like, I got all fucking panic. So he comes out and he's all like,
Like a robot. Yeah, he's moonwalking and shit.
And he's sitting like in the middle of the driveway, like with his legs like that. And then I call my dad.
Now we call the uncles. We call my dad and my uncle. Right? Because the uncles are supposed to help, right?
I told him, he's like, I told him. And my dad already, at this time, my dad already knows I get high.
Yeah.
So I told him, hey, I gave him some sherm. And he's like, how much did he smoke? And I was like, the rest of this. And he's like, oh, fuck. Right away.
Fuck, right?
He's like, oh, fuck. Like,
and then Ernie's there too, right?
He's like, where is he? I'm like, he's in the back. And they come around the corner and they see him.
Right. So one gets on the right side of him, right?
And they're like,
gets on the left side of him. And then they think they're going to help him, right?
No, they start fucking with him. Like, one starts going.
And the other one's like,
fucking with him. And I'm like, what the fuck? So then my dad like shakes him and he's just like, he's out of it. Like out of it. So my dad, this fool goes and turns the fucking water hose on. And he fucking soaks him.
Yeah, he's trying to wake him. He's stuck.
And then my uncle Ernie was like, he has like a temper.
Yeah.
Get the fuck up. Get up. Like, what's the matter? He starts like smacking on the back of his head. He's like, come on.
Yeah.
And then by then, like, my mom's already here, and I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm fucking in trouble. I'm fucking 12 years old, 13 years old, smoking sherm.
Smoking PCP.
I got caught, fuck. Yeah, and then fucking, yeah, so.
So just to show you our uncles, right, after the fire, right, and, I mean, that ends up becoming just, I mean, an abusive household, right? Yeah, and I mean, that ends up being your thing until you're able to, I guess, enter the streets your own, right? And to self-medicate. You get what I'm saying?
To escape from the trauma.
Right. You know, right. That's
drugs,
it.
To alcohol. Escape.
Yeah, right? So the drugs. We're already talking about the drugs. How old were you when you first started getting high, Primo?
Probably, yes, guy, like 11,
so start smoking marijuana, 11,
and then,
12.
And then I started doing lines of scante.
Of methamphetamine. Little of meth.
By like 13, 14. Yeah. And then after that, like, You know?
And you never stopped since, right?
Fuck no. I used to, I kept going and harder and harder.
Right.
And then like, you know, I don't like glorifying it, but it got to a point like, you know, certain people know I started slamming it. But not, I was very, nobody knew I did that. I'll get high with you. Like if everybody in this room smokes though, yeah, we smoke though, but I'm by myself in the restroom. I'm going to poke myself.
Right.
For a little bit, because I got to a point like, damn, dude, like I'm smoking all this and it doesn't do nothing to me. But if I do this in this way, it's going to keep me high for hours.
Right.
So that was my shit. And then I hardly had money for it.
Right.
So, yeah.
I mean, Primo, for like all I can remember, Primo, like you were on drugs
pretty much my whole life.
Primo, yeah. like
and I barely got clean. Shit.
How long have you been clean?
Probably now, like going on 5 years. Oh,
wow.
Off dope.
Primo. Wow.
Since I went to rehab, remember? Yeah, I was in rehab. You used to visit me. Yeah. And over there in San Pedro.
Yeah. Changing spirits.
Like 19, 20, 21, 22. 5 years.
5 years.
Off dope.
Right. And what was that? Why? I mean, like, what was your mindset, Primo? What was it like? Because, I mean, I got high. You learned getting high from me. You know? I mean.
Hey, I think, tell you the truth. That right there, I did get it.
I remember that. No. You know, and I'll tell him the story, Primo, because we were at, he was from the hood, right? Little Oso. We were at Little Oso's house across the street.
In his pad.
And it's inside his apartment. Yeah. Inside his apartment. And I was loped out at that time. I was probably like 18. And you hadn't done a line yet. You hadn't done methamphetamine yet, Primo. Yeah. And I remember I forced you to do that shit, right? And, like, you didn't want to do it. And, like, I knew you. I already knew you that you told me I did it, but you were my little primo. So you were going to tell me that you did it just to
fit in.
Straight up. Right?
Yeah. And like, I was smoking Yesca and drinking beer. But that next level of.
And if you hear the story of my Uncle Ernie, like, that's like, get up, motherfucker. Like, that's it. Like, on these streets, right, primo?
Yeah.
Like,
you got to be aggressive.
You have to be aggressive. In these fucking streets, you had to be aggressive. You weren't aggressive, what?
You're going to get walked all over. Pretty much. Like anywhere.
On the streets we grew up.
And any hood street.
In any hood street. Montebello specifically for Montebello. Us, East LA. Montebello. You know, your dad is Maravilla. Yeah. We're second generation gang members. Our family has been involved in gangs since the 1970s. Yeah.
But the culture, East side culture goes way back to the Zoot Suit era. That's our culture.
So aggressive, right? So I think I'm going to, and going into like that moment, Primo, I knew you had to do it, right? And it was, and I remember, Primo, you were little, you were probably like 15 and I remember your eyes got watery and shit, you know, and like, because you didn't, you know, and I was like, and I told you I was going to fucking hit you or I don't know, some shit.
Like, so I'm going to fuck you up.
I'm going to fuck you up. And like,
I was like, and then I'm with Oso and then you, Oso, like, you know, and right I think, here, like, right? You know, I'm about to get into the hood too. Yeah, so I'm like, damn, dude, I can't look like a punk.
Yeah, Primo. Time, you know? And I remember you did that shit. And I did
And then like, I liked it, but I didn't like it.
Yeah, you didn't.
But then eventually I started within, and then it always came across my path.
Yeah.
So, but you know, little by little, smoking, sniffing. It just escalated.
Yeah.
Until I became a full-blown drug addict. Fucking
drug addict, right?
You know, in and out of jail, fucking rehabs, you know, and then I still never got it.
Right.
Once my primo got his life together, he used to always try to help me out, you know, but like he could only do so much, you know? He was like, but he never gave up on me.
Yeah.
You know, never.
Yeah.
I remember one time fucking my mom, we used to live over there in Maywood. And my mom, we ended up getting kicked out or whatever. So we ended up going back. That's when my mom started living at grandma's again. And my mom used to have that green truck. Remember that green blazer or whatever? So I used to be so tweaked out. And my sisters were already staying with their boyfriends. My brother was living with his lady already. But me, I was still fucking lost in the sauce. You know, and I'm down the street from the hood. You know, so
dope ain't nothing. You got dope.
I could walk.
Yeah.
And get it and come back.
Yeah.
So I used to like live in my mom's truck, her little truck. I used to be all tweaked out.
In front of grandpa's house.
Tent up, put my shirts over the windows and just sit in there all night and smoke dope. And I knew my grandpa's schedule because he used to always get his paper like 6, 7 in the morning. Paper. And I'm out there and I'm off my journey.
Yeah.
Like he won't see me. But I remember one time, a day, like maybe it was like a Friday. He calls me. He's like, "Hey, people, what's up? You want to go to rehab?" I'm like, "Yeah, we'll go. We'll go Monday." It was always Monday
because you wanted to fucking rock out for the weekend. Yeah,
he used to know when to get me. It was like Friday. I have like a pocket dope. I got a little EBT. You know, I'm like, "Oh, Monday, whatever." Now, So it was this one time I was in the truck and I was fucking been up for like a couple of days already tripping, and I'm right there, and my fucking grandpa comes out early for some reason. He's like, "Mijo," I guess I don't know how he see me in the truck.
He always knew, huh?
Yeah, he knows. He's like, "Mijo," and I come out the car, but I'm on this side up because the car's parked like this, and I'm in the back seat with the seats down.
Yeah,
and he comes from this way, and I was like, "Yeah, grandpa," and I get up, and it's my last bowl. Nothing, you know, I have no more money, and I was like, grandpa, and I get off, and the fucking pipe falls and it breaks
in front of grandpa.
No, it just broke, and I'm like, fuck, in my head, I'm like, this is the last of my fucking dope.
Yeah, primo.
And my grandpa was like, come inside and eat. Come inside.
Yeah.
And I was like, Oh, I will run out of crampo, yeah. And I go back in the thing, and I just start thinking, like, damn, dude, like, my crampo caught me. I have no more dope, no more money. My mom fucking, she's not going to give me no more money. The fucking, I already owe money to the homie.
Yeah, to the homies.
I'm like, fuck, dude. And he fucking calls. Hey, what's up? You still want to go to rehab? Like, it's crazy how the fucking, he calls me like an hour later. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go to rehab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that changed the course, right?
Changed the course, yeah. Right. And then we went to Changing Spirits, I think it was.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to talk about when your dad passed away, Primo. And like, because I feel that was a big, like, you know, and like it took you. I was there. I took you.
It took me to a darker place.
Mm.
You know, meaning like I had the fuck it's. You know, fuck
after your dad
like,
passed away.
Yeah.
Right. And can you walk us through your dad passing away?
So like he's
how
like,
did he yeah, how did he pass
he,
away?
And for he had a massive hernia, like, and he never fixed it. Like his huevo testicle
just yeah,
it looked like a mini beach ball. And he used to have like a shirt holding it because it was so big. And like his stomach was so blown.
And he had cirrhosis of the liver at the same time,
Full blown,
with the hernia,
with
full
the
blown
hernia, and he was just like dying from the inside out.
Yeah.
And he used to leak alcohol from his belly button. That's how bad it was. His belly button was already like inside out.
Yeah, yeah.
So he used to have this gauze all the time, because the doctor gave him gauze. And my mom used to tell him, it got to a point that my mom, we used to always take him to the hospital, and he used to leave. Because he wanted a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
He used to always leave.
He used to want to drink.
And yeah. I remember the night, a couple nights before my dad passed away. It was probably like 11, 12. Me and my brother are in the room, like, you know, finally resting up because we were still partying or whatever. And you just hear my dad like moaning and groaning, like, like shit like that. And my brother gets up and he's telling Anthony, like, I need to go to the hospital.
And at that time, Anthony's a full-blown drug addict, too, at that time. Now, your little brother, right?
And then at the time, my mom hears it.
Mm.
But since my dad's always at the hospital, my mom was like, shut the fuck up and go to sleep.
Mm.
You know? Because you're going to do this shit again. Yeah, you're going to go to the hospital, and you're going to fucking leave.
Yeah.
So, he's literally, my brother gets mad. He's like, he needs to go to the hospital, mom. And, like, at the end, he's weak. So, me and my brother pick him up. And we carry him, like, literally, like, I got one side, and he got one side, and we take him to the car, boom. I sit him in the passenger seat, and it's still, like, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock already. And I have no license, fucking, I'm parole, you know?
Yeah,
fucking, we put him in the car, right? And I'm driving him. Mom was like, I'm not going to take him. You could take him. Well, when she says that, I'm like, give me the keys. You're going to fucking drive right now? It's late, you don't have a license? I was like, mom, he needs to go to the hospital. She's like, well, he needs to figure it out. I'm like, damn, dude, my mom's like a cool piece of work right now.
Yeah, she ain't giving a fuck right now.
You know, like, because he's going to do the same shit again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I end up taking him, boom. We drive over there and, like, drop him off, you know? We tell him, like, hey, my dad needs to come to the ER. And then, so they put him in the wheelchair. And, like, I just wanted to get him to get there.
Yeah.
And then by then, we drop him off. And, like, I'm in the car. And I tell my brother, like, hey, we're like, what do we do? And, like, he's like, let's go get a sack.
Mm.
We're in the car already. So my brother used to like stealing shit. So we go drive around and he's a little lick. He comes up. And by then, my mom's calling me and I fucking didn't know her call because I have the truck.
And now you're going to get some
And
dope.
I just told her I'm at the hospital still.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm fucking far from the hospital. I've been gone like 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
She's like, where the fuck you at? Bring the car
still
back.
At the hospital.
By then, it's already like 4 a.m. My mom has to go to work.
Yeah.
She's like, I need the truck. Like, you need to come home now. Yeah, I'm like, I will. So I get there, the sun's already coming up. We have our sack and like, we're just in it. Me and my brother smoking dope all in the pad. My sister's just gone.
Yeah.
And and then like a couple of days later, your mom calls me. She's like, Mijo, I'm gonna pick you up. I need you to come to the hospital.
Mm.
No, okay, let's rewind it. When my dad was in the hospital, he was in the hospital for like a couple of days, and I remember I went to the hospital to see him, and he's all fucked up, you know, and he's like, hey, I need a drink. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, I want a little drink. So me not knowing, because it's all I knew was to get high with him, because I used to get high with my dad.
By that time, you're smoking meth.
Yeah, we're smoking meth, drinking beer, and like
that was our
friendship. it was get high together. Right. Like if you don't have dope, like we're not our bond was very awkward. Like if you don't have alcohol and if you don't have like drugs, like why are we gonna have a conversation and kick it?
With your dad?
My dad. That was like that was the bond.
That was it.
So anyways, I get there and he's like, I want a drink. So there's a liquor store right across the street. So I go to the liquor store. And I remember I grabbed a little bottle of fucking, I think it was like a Four Loko or some shit.
Yeah.
And I put it in my pocket and I give it to him. And I get to the sink in the hospital and I was like, boom. And he's like, there's a straw right there. Because he's already all fucked up. He can't like drink it like a normal person.
And this is after you and Anthony are carrying him, right?
He's weak. Like he's pretty much like, he's functioning like a 110-year-old person. He can't move. He's all like.
He can barely talk.
Everything. So I get the straw for the ones that the hospitals get for the waters and I put in the thing and I crack it and I put it by his mouth and he just like, you could just see like, yeah, and like he's barely drinking it and like he just like enjoying whatever and he just like, he does it again and then he's like, get the can and put it in their little cupboard right there.
Fuck, primo.
So I put it in there and then like, I was like, damn, so I get it again. I'll shoot him for like 30 minutes so he finished it and I get the can, I remember, and I put it in the bottom of the paper towels and I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, so I put in a boom and I jam and like 2 days later your mom calls me and she's like, Amy, I'm gonna pick you up. I'm at the hospital with your mom. And I go to the hospital and
that was fucked up. I was there. Yeah.
I get to the hospital and I see my mom come out the room and she's like, your dad died. I'm like, damn. And I always say this like, I wonder if I didn't give him that last drink, you know, did that push the little extra like to go? But then, like I said before, and I guess when you come to a point of death, the only thing to do is just try to satisfy their needs.
Yeah.
You can't save them if they're already gonna go, you know.
Yeah. Just let them be happy like that. Whatever. Yeah.
Make them happy, you know.
Yeah.
And it took me years. To realize that.
That no matter what you did.
No matter what I did, like, I know God was going to take him. But if it made him happy at that point, like, even if I did give it to him, it probably would have, like, he's still going to pass.
Yeah.
He's still going to pass. Yeah. God's still going to take him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But, like, sometimes I think about that, you know. If I didn't give it to him, would he live a couple more days or a week? Or who knows? Right, who knows? Right, but he was already on his deathbed. And it came to a point, too, after I gave it to him. And it was like a ripple effect. I gave it to him. A day or two later, go by. He's on life support. I visit him, you know. He has a fucking machine. And I didn't know he was on life support. You know, he's out. Yeah, you know? Yeah, and yeah, I guess whatever decision my mom made and my tias and whatever that happened, you know, whatever. It's done.
Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah.
But, like, he was pretty much gone.
Yeah.
When the second time I seen him before he passed.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, after he passed, and I took it kind of hard.
You did. And you said, you know, yeah.
I'd be like, fuck. Even though we never had a bond, like a good bond, but I'm like, damn, dude, like.
That was your dad.
That was my dad, you know? Like, there was, my whole life was never nothing positive.
Hey.
So this person going was like, I'm not saying, whatever, negative.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh shit, I'm gonna fucking show you how to build a car and I'm gonna show you how to work and get a job and all this other shit. It was never that.
Right.
You know, it was like my daddy, he was a hustler. He used to have side jobs and shit. Sometimes he'll cut grass, wash cars, clean people's lawns and shit. Yeah. That was his hustle, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I had those mentalities, but I used to put it in a different way.
Yeah.
Slanging drugs and shit like that, you know? Yeah. But anyways, after he passed, I just got full blown into my addiction.
Yeah.
I didn't give no fucks, you know. I used to just like care less. Like if I get busted, fuck it, you know.
And you did get busted.
Yeah,
right?
I got busted, you know, and eventually again.
You ended up in prison.
Yeah, a prison for robbery.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And take us through that, right? Because like another crazy part, like even like it's been me and you, primo, like how crazy was like you picking me up from Ironwood Prison.
And then me paroling.
And then you paroling from Ironwood Prison.
Yeah,
and me,
that shit. Yeah.
And me going to pick you up.
Yeah.
It was your brother, Anthony, and my mom picked me up from Ironwood Prison.
Because I was like either smoked out.
That day. You didn't make it that morning.
I didn't make it. Yeah. You went to the pad and I was already all weird.
You were all weirded out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my brother.
Yeah, and your mom. You were supposed to come. Yeah,
but I was all weird. I got stuck in the room.
Yeah, but I want to go pick you up. I was there, right? And you think, right? Like prison, it changes anybody.
Oh, yeah,
it changes
all
mentally. Of us, right? Like mentally.
Yeah. But you know, the way these, you know this too. Prison, county jail.
County jail.
If you could survive, like, you know, they say LA County Jail is like gladiator school.
Straight up.
Fools are getting all day, every day. Yeah. Fools are fighting.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And it's crazy rioting, because it's against, you could, you know, they say like, oh, here, like, oh, we're one each other, we're each other's race.
Yeah.
And their fools are stabbing each other's race.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
Yeah.
For drug debts, snitching, and whatever political shit. So, yeah, it does something to you mentally. Like, you have this, like, you put on this, like, I guess, like, your shield.
Right.
You know, you got to be, like, ready for whatever. Right.
And, you know, so walk me through that. For you hitting the county jail, you hitting prison. I mean, for me, I say that I was ready. You know what I'm saying? And what was your feelings, you entering, and fuck the county jail, right? Like,
upstate.
Straight upstate, right?
Remember.
Were you touching down to where? What was your reception? Wasco, Delano?
It was Delano.
Yeah.
Delano. When I first got there, I remember, it's crazy, you know? Whatever, you know, I'm put it all out there. Like, you know, there's certain people, like, you know, we get there and I'm like, damn, you know, fools are, I guess, locking it up.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's right there. And at first I didn't
understand.
I heard these conversations in the county.
But now it's happening.
I'm like, why are they going over there?
Right.
But I'm still going to keep it right here.
I'm going to keep it right here.
They're like, oh, you get out sooner and all this other shit. And,
but
I never liked.
But we weren't taught that.
No.
We weren't taught that.
Because why? This is too.
We had to come back home, though, too.
Come back home. But the reason why I never, ever, and still, and I'm never going to go back to jail, but my jail rap sheet is never to go to that other side.
Yeah.
Because why? Because how are you going to live a life in jail with somebody that molests little kids?
On those yards.
So that's like a no-no for me.
Yeah.
For my primo and for whoever's out there knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, however you decide to do your fucking time, right?
That's the way I put it for myself.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna
keep that shit 100.
I'm gonna keep it 100.
Yeah,
you know?
Like I'm not trying to roll with no fools like that. Straight
hell
up.
No.
Yeah.
Because and then also too, like we have girls, little girls, kids, women.
And that's a key thing, right? In this fucked up political prison system. But one of the key things is that what we don't allow on our side is molestation, any sexual offenses, right? And of course, you know, there's cracks in any organization, anything, but I think that's something that's we live and honor by, right? Like and so going into prison,
so
how did that make you change?
So I knew for sure, like, all that scaredness and nervousness is out the window.
Because
it's pretty much, you know, when you get to jail, it's like, it's you, yourself.
I remember
fucking this OG homie, I'm not going to say where he's from, but he used to tell me, he's like, mind your business and respect. That will take you a long way.
Mm.
So I always had that mentality, like, I respect you.
Yeah.
You know, I respect, keep clean, and mind my business.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I carry those manias till even now.
To your whole term.
You know, I respect people, you know, give the same amount. So if I ran with that, you know, in my first time getting caught up in a mix, I was, back then it was a level 2 before I went to Ironwood. I had low points.
Yep.
And I was in Chuckawalla, and I came across some dude, right? And, you know, like I ended up seeing his paperwork or whatever, right? And he came at me foul, and I already knew, like, this fool's going to go. But, like, I wasn't going to stab him. So what I did, I was like, I'm going to take off on this fool.
Yeah.
So I started taking off on him. But back in over there in Chuckawalla, there's lockers.
Yeah. You're like they're little dorms, right?
And there's lockers, and I'm fucking taking off on this fool. Boom, boom. And this fool falls, and he fucking splits his shit right here. And he falls. And right away, the guards see, and they run. They thought I stabbed him. So they snatch me up, boom, and they take me, and this fool's on the floor, like, bleeding.
Because
he busted his shit.
Yeah.
And right away, they're like, where's the weapon? I'm like, dick, I don't got no fucking weapon. And they're like, you know, there's fucking blood everywhere, like, you stabbed them. I'm like, nah, I don't got shit. And I guess whatever, that fool said I didn't have a weapon, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, for fighting, your points go up.
Yeah.
You know, I end up going to the whole ad tech, and then you're like, you're going to go to a level 3. I was in the hole probably for, like, I don't know, like five months or some shit. I go to committee and they're like, you're gonna go to Ironwood level 3.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. So I remember I get there, right? To Ironwood, but they take me to the exit because there's no room
on the yard. Yeah.
So I get to the hole in it's an A yard.
Yeah.
A yard is the hole. So I get there, I'm like, damn, dude, I'm nervous already. I'm like, yeah, damn, we're in South now.
It's different. This is a whole different game. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, damn, dude, like, where's the dorms? I got used to dorms because in the county jail, if you're in the South, but either way, you're living with more than one person.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the gang muzzle or high power. Yeah. It's a different type of South living.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, damn. But
prison South living is just, boom, they close the door and that's it.
And in the hole, what's the hole? It's all concrete.
Yeah.
It's a concrete bunk slab.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like straight concrete slab. So I'm right there, I'm like, damn, I'm by myself. And then like, and then you, one of the, it's crazy because like how that shit works,
the homies come through.
One of the homies come, they're like, hey, where you coming from?
Yeah.
And you know, you got your paperwork. That's another word of keeping it away from the other yard.
Yeah.
You gotta show where you're coming from and all this. So long story short, here at the Voss, I shoot you to, he's like, all right, cool. So they go check it, get back at me a day later. And if they say like, oh, if you're good, they'll look out for you. So next thing you know, I fucking wake up in the morning, they got soups, toothpaste, all kinds of shit on my car.
You're like, I'm good.
I'm good. And I'm right there, and then, you know, boom. And then we go to yard.
Yeah.
We go to in the cages.
Yeah.
In Ironwood, I'm in the cages right there. Bam. And then I start introducing myself with the
womb.
They're like, oh, what you here for? And, like, I tell them, and they're like, oh, that's right. You know, you took one for the team and all this other shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but I'm just trying to get my property.
Yeah.
They're like, what do you need? And they looked out pretty much whatever I needed.
The homies came through.
Yeah, you want to get high?
Hey, what you?
What you want? We got you. So yeah, I'm like, yeah. So yeah, they looked out for me, and I was right there. And then the space ended up opening. So I ended up doing what's it called? Like classification,
right.
And C yard.
Uh huh.
Do that for another 2 weeks, and yeah, that was it. And then my whole journey began.
Right. You know,
but even like that was crazy too, because like I had Sally's just always come and like.
Because you were getting high.
I was in the mix. Because Sally's were, you know, getting doing snatched this, up.
Yeah.
Some of them, like, grab one of them. I don't want to say no names, but ended up getting validated. I'm like, damn, dude, like, I'm never going to go home.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to throw some shit on me.
It's not promised.
Getting caught with phones and shit.
I
got caught with the phone, but I didn't get my time back.
Right.
You know, for like little shit. Thank God I got caught for little shit.
Right.
You know?
So how did prison change you? I mean, did it change you in a good way?
It changed me like, how should I say? It didn't change me like a 360, like, oh, I'm this whole new person.
Right.
It just that I already had a mindset already as I was growing.
Right.
And it's like a backpack.
Right.
As you grow up, I know how to do this and know how to do that.
It's like a little toolbox.
That's
right?
it. And this, I got my whole fucking shit.
I got this shit now.
By the time I'm already 18, 19, I'm like, I got a whole life.
Of gangster shit right here.
You want to pull this card? I'll pull this card on you.
Yeah, primo.
You know?
And then
it just stuck with me like that, you know?
Yeah.
And it just gives you this mentality, you know, I guess, as you get older.
Right.
You know, then me, you know, going through shit, seeing shit, you know, like everybody sees shit in jail.
Right.
You know, like there's no like, oh, that fool seen, you know, you're going to see some shit regardless.
Regardless.
If you keep it. GP,
right?
You're gonna see some shit,
right?
Regardless, in jail, you know. But it just does something to you mentally, and it's crazy because like someone could be doing something drastic could happen over there. Someone could be getting dealt with.
Yeah. Stop.
And then like what happens right here.
And then there's
a homie over here still doing push-ups. Just minding their business.
Just keep it. Right.
Like they say, mind your business.
Mind your business. Yeah.
That's that right there. When they say, makes sense.
Hey,
like mind in the county, business. When someone's getting boobop, mind your business.
Mind your business, dog. Or I'll be getting the next one getting boobop.
Yeah. That right there always stuck out
business.
To me. Mind your business.
Yeah.
So that right there was like, okay, damn, mind my business.
Do you remember the time when me and my mom, your mom and my mom picked you up? Right? From Ironwood.
Yeah, Ironwood. Yeah, and we ate at that burger stand. We got pulled over. Not even 20 minutes on the road. Remember? I'm like, fuck. I just got out. We got pulled over because your mom was speeding. Remember? I was scared as fuck. I was in my dress out. I'm like, I had my fucking, all my envelopes and my pictures.
Yeah.
And the cop pulls over. I'm like,
I'm going right back.
What the fuck? Like, I can still see the building still. This is fucked up.
Yeah. How did you feel?
I'm nervous as fuck.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn. And that saying was like, oh, you know what they say? Like, don't look back. I look back like a motherfucker. Then I got pulled over. I'm like, damn, dude, this is like a jinx.
Yeah.
I remember, and they just told your mom for speeding, and then they let us go. And I was just like, damn, dude, like, I was scared.
Yeah.
And that's when it all began. That's when you showed me that one rapper, Nipsey Hussle, at that time.
Nipsey was bumping.
It was bumping. Yeah, that shit was dope.
All right, Primo. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you continue this journey of getting high in prison.
Yeah.
So talk to me about your
the
rehab. No, just like I mean, how did that change, Primo? Like, you kept on getting high. Where was the change of finally being to rehab to go to rehab and be 100 about it, to finally get cleaned? Like, what was that journey? And maybe we could get into homeboys, you know, because homeboys plays in there, you know.
So I think for me, just like, I just had enough.
There comes a moment.
You know, like, no judgment. Everybody's ready when they're ready. But I was ready. You know, like, I seen it, done it, did it. When you get high, like, it's a limit. You always come to that limit, you know?
Talk to us about the time when you almost overdosed.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was a limit too, right?
That was one of them. My mom was, we were staying in Maywood, I think, at the time. And I said, Mom, it was a garage. But I was just sleeping there. It was like just a garage, you know? I didn't really have much in there. Yeah. Remember? That was my little spot. And I used to get high off heroin. I used to like heroin, but my shit was cante, meth, tweak. And I remember I didn't really have I was up for like a couple of days. And I wanted to go to sleep. You know, I was like, damn, I had no more scante. So I had this little bit of heroin. And I remember I did it. But I did it. I was already all fed up. My mom was tripping on me. I started thinking about my dad. I have no job. Just
life was just fucking
I was feeling sorry for myself, pretty much. Feeling sorry for myself. And I slammed a good issue, like 50 cc's of heroin. It's like half a needle. That's a lot. If you don't do it a lot, that's a lot. Like, you know, I do it, bam. And like, I remember just, I might fucking lose my breath. And I start sweating and I'm like, just chills. And like, I remember like trying to gasp for air. And I was like, and it started getting worse and worse and worse. And I started thinking like, and this song came on. I remember, I forgot who sings it. It's called like Something Drifting Away or some shit. I think I showed it to you.
Yeah.
The song came on, like, it was like crazy. It was like on Pandora, and I started thinking like, damn, dude. As I'm trying to catch my breath, I was thinking about my mom. I was like, damn, dude, my mom fucking comes in here and she's me fucking dead. What is she gonna do? Like, how is she gonna take it? Mm. My dad just died a couple years ago. Now her son overdosed in the garage, so I end up just like snapping out of it. I remember pouring water over my head and I'm like telling God, please. Crying, like I was so scared, like I can't breathe, and it feels like your chest is caving. It's just like, it's an ugly feeling. I was ODing, like, you know, I did too much, and I was just like crying, like focusing, like trying to catch my breath, and eventually, like, I started focusing because I was panicking too much, and I just like snapped out of it. I'm like, damn, dude, and I remember getting the fucking rest of the heroin and the needle, and I just threw it away. Boom.
Yeah.
And I stopped fucking with heroin that time. But I was still getting high off tweak. Right, but I just stopped doing heroin. Heroin. Because I liked doing heroin when I was in the system.
Right.
Like, I got introduced to that in the system. You know, I used to just do my thing. So I did it out here. But I was like, damn, dude, I did way too much than I do in there. I did quadruple the amount.
Hey, remember that time when I overdosed and you were there?
Oh, shit.
Forgot about that time, huh? Yeah. The
heroin, remember?
Yeah, but I sniffed it though. And then you were just right there looking at me and I almost died.
Yeah, it was with Scott, wasn't it?
Scott. Yeah.
Remember that shit?
Scott was, his mom was a fucking prostitute. And she used to bring in guys in the house
all the time. And that fool Scott was turned up, a little white boy.
That fool was crazy as fuck. He was all little white boy and he started running around a bunch of Mexicans.
With a bunch of homies.
But his mom,
his dad was like some weirdo.
Yeah. All right, Primo. So was that the change that really like that forced you to get sober?
For me, like I said, it was like I just had enough.
Mm.
You know, like
enough of what?
Of fucking not having shit for myself. Not having money, always asking for handouts, fucking disappointing everybody, fucking looking like a dirtbag, feeling like a dirtbag, you know, and then it's just like, you get high, you go to jail, you know?
And what people don't know, every time you're out, you're with me.
Yeah.
So you've seen all the shit, right? You've done background work. You were on the Mayans. All that shit, you know? You were in this life. That's the crazy part. But the moment you wanted to come on this side, you could have, right, Primo?
Yeah.
But you just had to go through what you had to go through, right?
And like I said, I think I just had enough, Primo. Like, straight up. Like, I just got sick of it.
Mm.
Like, I'm always in jail, going in and out of county jail. As soon as I get out from fucking doing violations,
right,
I go back getting high.
Right.
And it's a repeated cycle. I must have like fucking 15 plus abscoundings.
Right.
And always Madison.
Right.
They always kick the door down.
Right. So abscounding is your MO on parole, you would get out and you would never report to your parole office.
And they just put a PAL warrant. Parolee at large.
Immediately. So as soon as you get out from any prison in California, you have 48 hours, 24 hours
like that,
to report. But you
never. They said, "You want me? Come and get me.
Want me? Come and find me. You're gonna work, right?
Yeah.
You motherfuckers
never,
are gonna
work. Never once. I did it. I ended up discharging
because they just kept his whole. So my if whole you get on parole, term. Like if you do what you gotta do, like me, right? You 1 year done, right?
Yeah.
But if you report,
you get off in a couple months.
Yeah.
Me, I did it for like 3 years. Never. Always getting busted. I probably in and out of the, and then back then I think too because they used to give you slaps in the hands.
Yeah.
Oh, you do 90-day flash, 10-day flash,
hey,
160-day flash.
Hey.
Oh, this is easy.
Hey, remember that one time you got arrested and I think I was with you taking your mom to pay the cable bill and the cops ran after you and you went under the trailer?
Oh, yeah. I got scared. Yeah. I was on the run and that fool seen me and like, my mom was ready to know like, they're going to get me. Fuck this. And I ran and I threw myself under this like...
Yeah, I was there. Awesome. We're like, where's Paul at? Oh, they got him.
Yeah. Oh, you remember that shit? Yeah, that's crazy. You were there,
huh? And then you told me, yeah, I was there. And then we're like, and they were like, hey, we see you.
Yeah, they're like, come on. My feet's all sticky now. I'm hiding. That shit was awful. I'm all big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big. My whole back was scratched.
A bear trying to find a little...
Yeah. It was like trying to like go under something like that. Under there. They're going to find me. Yeah, I remember that
you
shit.
You sucked at hide and go seek.
That fool see me and I started running. Whew, fuck. And like I hit the corner.
And all it is because you're not reporting. It's not like you have a gun.
Yeah, just like, the reporting. I don't want to go to jail.
Fucking...
I was running because I wanted to still keep getting high. Straight up. That was the get down. Like, in my head was like, I'm going to get back. I'm going to, my connect's waiting for me.
Yeah,
I'll be there like in 40 minutes.
It's already fucking.
I can't go to jail today.
Not today. It's already the plan. I have a plan.
It was all bad. I get to the station. They're like, what are you going to do with your $26? I'm like, fuck, I was supposed to go to something else.
Now it's going to soups in the county jail.
Now it's going to soups. Fuck. So that was it for three years, in and out, you know?
Right. Until finally, right?
I just, like, why go report?
All right, Primo, I want to bring it on the birth of your baby, or the baby, right?
Little Alexis.
Yeah, and so the baby, you know, and what strikes me, Primo, me and you, right? Like, we didn't have, as you said, that positive, you know, that positivity, you know, we didn't have a mother or a father to really guide us on this journey. Yeah. That's just what it is, right? And how did you learn to be a father, right? And talk to us about, you know, just being a father, bro. Because that, like, now it's not obviously your life is where it's turning into, but that shit, like, how do you become a father? And you can't learn that from me, right? Like, I could give you all that shit, but it's just something that you have to do. And walk us through that. Walk us.
Let's take it back.
Yeah,
Primo. I remember we're in South Dakota.
Sundance.
And my daughter was going to be born 2017.
Yeah, Primo.
We're in Sundance right before Tree Day, where we do our special ceremonies and, you know, talk about that some other time.
Yeah.
But she was born. But she was born a breached preemie, meaning breach. She was coming, the legs was coming out from the vagina, not the head.
Yeah.
So they had to cut my baby mother open and take her out. But she was a preemie. She was not like fully grown.
Yeah.
So she had all these tubes, a breathing machine. And like, I remember coming back and I just seen her, you know, and that shit broke me, you know, seeing like my, and I prayed, Primo, not even a day, not even hours back from Sundance. I went straight from Sundance.
Straight to her.
Straight to the hospital. And I just picked her up. And she was just like a little chiquita, small little thing, the baby. I'm like, damn, dude. I just started crying. I started praying, like, please, God, like, take these tubes out of my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I'll try to, like, I'll do my part. And, like, it's crazy because, like, about a week later, then I'm taking him out.
Huh.
And then, like, she started rehabilitating. And then, like, I was still kind of fucking around because I got clean probably, like, a few months after she was born.
Huh.
I got clean, like, in 2018, around there.
When she was born.
Probably, like, about a few months after. She was still not even one yet when I got really my life together because I started thinking, like, damn, dude, I want to be a fucking piece of shit dad to a little girl. You know, and then knowing friends, you know, no judgment or whatever, but like seeing homies and shit like that, like, hey, where's your dad? He's in jail.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I don't know who my dad is. Oh, yeah. Or it's just a different bond.
Right.
Like, you don't know your fucking parents. And then and having a little girl, it just does
different.
Something.
It's different.
A little boy is their child, yeah, regardless.
Yeah, but our little girls,
but it's just something. Know? Just like they say, like, a mother's always going to be to her son to some aspect, and a father's going to be to a daughter to some aspect.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and I'm like, damn, dude, I can't have my daughter growing up like this, you know? And they say, though, too, you know, sometimes I believe that your daughter will be with somebody kind of like of the father,
the way
her father is. Mm. If her father is a drug addict, piece of shit, gang member, hoodlum,
that's what she's gonna look for.
She's gonna look for that.
That's what they're gonna look for right there, right? You know? They're gonna model what type of man do I want in my life. Well, this is the man that I
that he was always on my side.
Yeah,
so I like this type of role model.
Right. These characteristics is something that I'm familiar with, right?
Oh, your hood, you look.
Yeah. And then you go to the women of our family, right? You know, to our grandfathers, our aunts, right? And then, you know, now our primas. And, like, these fathers, they end up getting men that are similar, you know, like our moms.
It took us years,
right? Because our grandfather was a fucking full-blown alcoholic, his whole, an abusive alcoholic.
It was like trauma.
Generational trauma
since birth.
That's it. Right? You know, that's who our moms end up bringing forth in their life.
Yeah.
That's just how it works. So you were right on, primo, that having a change at that moment for who you are would definitely change the trajectory of yourself and ultimately your daughter now, you know? And
I you know, I love that little girl to death. You know, it's just like,
how old is she now?
She's six. Mm. Six, little Alexis. I just didn't want her to grow up with a piece of shit father.
Yeah.
You know, my last, she was like 1 year old and I did my last term. Remember?
Yeah.
I was in Wasco. It was for something small and stupid for whatever. And I just used to get the pictures in there and shit. I'm like, damn, dude, I can't keep doing this shit.
Right.
You know, I'm done. Like, you know, I got out and I just like, fuck it. I just said that was it. That was it. Right. I threw in the towel, meaning I'm not going to be like, I'm going to turn my back on everything. It's just, I need to get myself right.
Mm.
No one's going to get their self right but you.
Yeah.
You know? The homies ain't. Nobody's going to get your self right but you.
Yeah.
You know? You could look firme, but if you're broken inside, your whole world's going to deteriorate mentally.
Mm.
So I had to like, damn, dude, like, and the outside may look like, oh, Feedman, that fool, look, he's dressed nice, but he's fucking hurting.
Mm.
I was hurting. So I said, you know what? I need to, like, boom, snap out of this shit, you know? And then being here, the ceremony, primo, ceremony is what we do.
Yeah.
Is it burning the picture?
Oh, shit,
I told you.
Yeah. No, it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we got it.
That's it. Yeah. And it's crazy. Look at stop right there.
Stop right there.
Good. That light was.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, so. The ceremony, people, you know, and I believe that, you know, the spirit talks to you, you know. It may sound weird to people out there.
Yeah, but this is our get down. Yeah. No, we don't. Yeah, this is our thing.
Yeah, it makes me feel good.
Mm.
You know, if something that you do makes you feel good, that's positive, you're going to continue it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no regret toward it.
Mm.
You know, sometimes you do shit and that, like, right, drugs, right, oh, it makes make you feel good, but there's regret to it.
Right.
This right here is, it makes me feel good and there ain't no regret.
Right.
You know,
right.
If anything, it makes me stronger mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Right.
You know, so I just keep continuing it, you know? Right, right. And I'm never going to turn my back on this shit, just like how I turn my back on a lot of other shit.
Yeah.
And turning my back on it, it didn't harm me. You know, right. It didn't take care of me, but this does.
Yeah.
My spirituality takes care of me in my own way I believe in, you know?
Right.
But we could identify because we do the same thing, Primo, you know? We, how should I say this? It just, like I said, it helps me function on a daily basis.
Right.
Being, you know, lighting some medicine is just like.
Resets us. It resets. Yeah.
You know, it comes down all, if you want to take it like real deep, to our roots, Primo, you know? We're Mexicanos. Yeah. We're raza. Yeah. We're catura, yeah. You know? We're all that. We shol, machica, azteca, all that. Like, it's in our sangre.
Yeah.
So it just feels right.
Right, right, you know? Right, right, right.
Just to help me better myself, Primo.
Yeah.
And I pray all the time that you help me stay strong.
Yeah.
You know, don't let me give up on life. Don't let me go back to wherever I was in my past.
Yeah, yeah, because
I know where that's going to lead me to.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong. That door is closed, but it's always going to be there.
Right.
And it's up to me if I want to keep it closed.
Right.
Or do I want to step in that door? And where I'm at right now, Primo, I try to keep a lock on that motherfucker and lose the key.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever want to go back to that shit because I know where it's going to take me. And I have a feeling the next time it's going to take me and it's not going to be jail or homeless.
Yeah.
It's probably just going to take me out.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, Primo. And like for those that like have been on a similar path, Primo, that have just barely got sober and are trying to be a father, Primo, like you've been on this journey. Like this is 6 years of being a father. Like, again, what is that, Primo, to continue to be a good father? And as you learn, right? Because again, you keep on learning these things that weren't taught to you.
Innocent little kids. So all they want is be loved and acknowledged.
Yeah.
Not beat, abused. I never wanted that for her. I don't want her to be like, I'm not going to say I want to hit her, but I don't want her to have her grow up like, I guess, too fast. A lot of kids grow up too fast. They can't live their life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have family out there right now, nephews, little kids, but their mentality because of the parents, you gotta live. You're 9 years old, but you should be living like a 22-year-old. You know, that's how I grew up.
Yeah.
And I think I want her to grow up and live her life as her age. You know.
Let her be a baby.
6 years old. Live like a little 6-year-old girl.
Yeah.
You don't need to be doing the
thinking
most.
Thinking or
worried. But that's where I come. Adults come in because if they enforce you to be an adult, they're pretty much like they're puppeting them. Puppeting them. You're gonna do this. You're gonna do that. But if you let them be and guide them. Guidance. Straight guidance. I never had the guidance.
Right.
You know, my guidance was like, you're going to get high, you're going to fucking do this, and you're going to do all the negative shit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to show you how to do nothing but negative shit.
Right.
I'm not going to push you to go to school. I'm not going to push you to have a good degree. Yeah. You have to figure it out, and we figure it out on our own, Primo.
Straight up.
But I don't want her to figure it out on her own.
Yeah.
You know, I want to guide her in that right way, and like, look me, huh? Like, and eventually, she's going to be like, damn, thank you, Pops. Just like Bella, all the kids, Primo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's where I'm.
Okay, so
I'll take it to Homeboys and to Pito.
Yeah. You were there when I went to Homeboys for my first time, right? We were on the bus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you've been with me on this.
From the Takis.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fucking off. Yeah, taking.
But what I mean, I kept on bringing you to Homeboys, right? Yeah. And what took you, because Homeboys is, you cannot say our story without talking about Homeboys, period.
Homeboys? You know, like everybody knows Homeboy Industry, you know, whoever's type it up, it's the world's
biggest
gang organization, nonprofit.
Period.
You know, me going there, like, geez, that fool's shit. That man right there, like, I don't give a, you know, there's all kinds of Caucasian men that will judge you, especially a person like me or ourselves.
Yeah,
but that man right there,
he loves us.
He'll put you under the wing and he'll take care of you, you know. And it's just like he just wants the best for everybody.
Yeah.
For any broken child, broken person.
Yeah.
He just wants you to like see the better in yourself.
Yeah.
And that man helped me out. You know, gave me a job. You know, just like you, Primo.
Yeah.
He gave me a job, but like.
But what happened? Okay, Pops gives us the job, but then something happens when you get there, right?
Yeah.
It's a life of its own, right? There's relationships.
Like I'm gonna. Is this Homeboys? I feel like it's very spiritual too. Homeboys, meaning spiritual. This may sound weird as hell, but I feel like as soon as you enter that place and you talk to this man, he'll help you out.
Yeah.
And mind you, Father Greg is a priest, a Jesuit priest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a Jesuit priest, yeah.
So I feel like this is just a belief. I believe it. It may sound weird, but as soon as you meet this man, he helps you out with full arms extent.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people take advantage of it, meaning, okay, take advantage of it in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get a job, I'm a career, like us.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like if you turn your back on it, a lot of people have been dying, you know, and you know, primo.
It's like we say, like you came here for a reason, and you asked God to help you, and now God has helped you, but you have to do your half, and God heard you, and he actually acted out.
Yeah,
but if you don't act out on yours, then that's when he, all right, cool.
And that right there, I'm going to say a quick story. I used to only use God when I'm in fucked up situations. God help me get out of this jail. God help me get the sack. God help me not do this. God. But like, you're not doing your part.
You're not, yeah. Yeah.
Just like you always tell me, people, you know, after ceremony, like, what are you going to do after?
Yeah.
After you ask God.
It doesn't matter about this ceremony. It matters what happens after this ceremony, right?
After.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, and shit, I think I'm doing my part as far as we speak now and future, you know?
Right.
So that was it, people. You know, I feel like, damn, dude, like, I'm not going to say like, oh, shit, if I leave homeboys, I'm going to die.
Right.
You know, but I just see the outcome of it. Right. Like, damn, dude, like, if I leave homeboys and go back to the same shit I came into, it's going to take me out. So fast forward, like, you had the Tepito going on. I did bakery. I did merchandise. I did recycling. Because
the thing about it, like, we're talking to Jose. You were at homeboys for a minute, right? Yeah, and they were trying to help. And so homeboys, the beautiful thing about homeboys is every individual is different, right? So it's like, what is going to help you? You know, as what strikes you, right?
Yeah.
And that's, but nothing fucking struck nothing, you, right?
Yeah, like, we did recycling, merchandise.
That's what I'm saying.
Security.
Right. They were trying, like, Paul, we really want something for you to tap in, right? So you could like be on and just live your life. But it wasn't until this Tepito thing that there was the barista.
And also, like, it's crazy because I tell my lady this. She's like, I'm like, damn, I never thought I would be a coffee maker.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trying to perfect my passion. Yeah. I like it. I love it.
Yeah,
primo,
and we had no idea.
That's just dope.
I
you know, sometimes everything gets overwhelming.
Right.
But I like it.
Pour-overs, lattes, espressos.
I'm not saying I have it. Fuck it. I'm like, I'm not going
to
say
you know
I'm
a professional. Good, yeah, but you know but how to make I know a good my shot shit. Of coffee. You know your shit and you know how to make a good cup of coffee.
And I want to teach that to the next person that came where I came from.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have fucking years of experience to show somebody. If I know how to tie a shoe, I'm going to show you how to tie a shoe.
Yeah.
Simple.
That's it.
Sometimes people make it hard. Like, oh, yeah, you need years.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
You really don't. Yeah.
Like, you know, like straight up.
Yeah. And why did that hit you in a way that none of the other shit did?
I don't know. It just stood out to me. I think also too, like, being acknowledged, primo, and giving something.
And as a barista, you feel acknowledged.
All the time, primo, and then you just get that love. And
like
from
how?
Give me an example. Like, I'll fucking do them a drink.
What do you do on drinks?
I forgot I have a coffee. So.
Hey, and Paulie's badass. What can you whip up? What latte art?
I could do latte. I could do Rosetta, swans, hearts, doves.
Hummingbirds. One of my favorite shots of Paulie, when you guys come, I just had this shot of him giving, I think you gave her a swan, this little white lady. And she is like, remember that shit, people?
Hey, I gave her a hummingbird. And then she
lit up.
And she told me, this is my spirit animal. And I was like, oh shit, I didn't even know.
That's the magic, right?
And then making somebody happy, smiling on their face, it's just positive energy, and that's what I want in my rest for my life and
that's
the rest
it.
Of my.
That's it.
Because I've been living through negative life my whole fucking life, and that shit's like it got old and dusty and
it's
rusty.
Heavy.
And it's heavy.
Heavy.
And you can't.
And it's heavy.
Yeah, you get. You know,
you have
primo,
to carry that shit.
You're
stressed out. Yeah. I got this problem. I got my mom's problem. I got my tia's, right?
All that shit. And
you're just carrying it.
It just fucks with you. You know, I remember when.
You don't have to carry it no more, right, primo?
You don't. You know, everybody has life shit going on, but you don't have to carry all this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what the ceremony, I think, does.
The ceremony, what it does for me, sometimes everybody has shit going on in life. Baggage. Everybody. There's no perfect person that's like, I don't know. I got no worries in the world.
Right.
There's always some shit going on. Yeah. But with the ceremony does for me, it helps me like.
Just take it off. Just take it away. Take it off. Take it away with the smoke.
And then you feel like, okay, I'm good. Like, I'm going to get through this day. I'm going to get through this little drama. I'm feeding, man. And that right there been helping me out these last 5 years of my life.
Mm.
And I'm going to continue because I know I'm not going to turn my back on it. And I know it got my back, you know? And there's a reason why you wanted to be in here, primo, because it's us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I feel very great in here, you know? And even with this podcast that's going on, whatever, but... But that's like right. it's good, primo. Straight up, you know. Like I said, I love you, primo. And hey, like, I'm never gonna, you know, I'm gonna keep pushing, you know.
Keep on rocking.
Keep on rocking.
Yeah, we've been rocking since right here, primo. Yeah, right there, right there.
From the broken bone to the
That's it. Primo. You know what I love about this picture right here? People talk shit because I be wearing huaraches, you know. But bro, you have huaraches right here,
primo. I do. Hey, I was G'd up back then. Serio. Oh, look at even matching this.
Okay. Hey, Carlos guys, he's looking good. I looked him on. I look like a straight paisa kid.
Let me see.
I'm like,
fuck yeah.
My little paisita. Hey, wait. Your
mom was like, put this and put this on the jam.
Hey, they don't even care. Look at, you can see them dancing while they're trying to take the kids. Or we're supposed to be like, you can see my tio like, yeah.
He's probably unloaded.
Oh yeah. Like, tio, just trying to take a picture of the kids.
But it's good. And then fuck, you don't have an updated one, huh?
Nah, primo. Nah.
Well, yeah, primo. But
good. Yeah,
it's good. You know, like I said, I love you, primo. And, yeah, primo. And, you know, thank you, guys, for allowing me to be on this podcast. And
yeah, primo.
Yeah. Primo. Yeah.